I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And very happy to be welcoming today local performer Mary Bew. She's got a new album that she's releasing on Friday, tomorrow, I guess, here in Duluth at Archie Quinlan's with the show. Welcome, Mary.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, so happy to have you back. It's was been a couple years at least since your last album, right?
Yeah, 2012.
And tell me about the show. I know it's kind of a big shindig. A lot of people going to be there on Friday.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun planning it. So it's Anthony Bennett, or Tony Bennett. He was a lead singer for Cars and Trucks, or is lead singer for Cars and Trucks. And then Chris Koza from Minneapolis, and he's performing as a duo. And then my band, and then the Duluth Dolls burlesque troupe. There will be some fancy dancing. And then DJ Walt Dizzo.
So just a whole, kind of like a big variety show,
yes,
almost.
Something for everyone.
Mm-hmm. I hear there might be pinatas involved. I'm kind of excited about
that. Might be. I have to get busy making them. No, I'm going to, yeah, there's going to be some for
all
sure.
Right. All right. Well, maybe we'll talk more about that later. doors are at 8:30 at R.T. Quinlan's tomorrow night. And what time does the show start?
Show starts right at 9.
Right at 9. All right. Well, why don't we get started with the song? Your new album is called Holy Bones. And it's one thing about it is that you know, the piano was your main instrument on your previous albums. And now you've kind of switched to a guitar.
Yes.
And you are playing one today. So why don't you play something for us? And then we'll come back and chat about that kind of shift and making the album and all that stuff.
Perfect. This one is the title track, Holy Bones.
Take your rings off, take your skin off, stand in your holy bones, up to your sacrum in snow.
That's Mary Bew live from Studio A and the title song from her new album, Holy Bones. What inspired that one? And I also want to say we were talking before the interview about your lyrics and how I kind of feel like you have a real distinctive voice. And, you know, just the word sacrum, up to your sacrum in snow. I just don't know anybody else that would use that phrase, and I love it. It's wonderful.
Thank you. I love the sacrum. It's one of my favorite bones.
And now, where is that, the lower back or something?
Yeah, it's a little, like, heart-shaped bone, like, right on top top of your tailbone.
Okay.
And the lower, the lumbar spine.
and you, as a yoga person, you know these things, right?
Yeah, I totally geek out on anatomy. And I'm not, like, super, I mean, that's a life of learning anatomy. But I would kind of love to take, like, an anatomy lab cadaver dissection. Just to learn that stuff. It's so cool. We're so intricate, you know? So anyway, yeah, it's sacrum.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
So tell me about that song.
So that song, well, I heard on some NPR interview this woman nearing death, and she was talking about how she put luggage tags on all of her furniture for her children so that they would know who was getting what. And it just seemed really, like, bizarre to me in a way that, you know, just the fact of we're all inching, this is more morbid, inching towards death, you know, and all of our stuff and spending a whole life, like, trying to attain stuff beyond, like, material items, but just titles or fame or, you know, getting up the corporate ladder or whatever you're doing. It seems like, you know, in the end, like, you're just, who gets it? You know, you do, it just kind of falls away. So that song's kind of about that mortality and simplicity and the inevitability of death.
Mm-hmm. And we're all just holy bones in the end. Is
yes.
The gist of it? Very nice. Very nice. And the artwork kind of goes along with that. I wanted to mention that the artwork for this album was done by another musician with mm-hmm. Duluth ties, Amy Apps. That's
yes.
really cool.
Yeah, Amy, I follow her on Instagram and Facebook. We're Facebook friends. And I've known her for 15 years or something.
And you both were in Seattle? Were you there at the same time?
We were both in Seattle for the same time. Okay. We had a little overlap. She stayed a little longer. She came just as I was about to leave, but we were there about for a year together. And but yeah, she's been posting amazing sketches and drawings and finished paintings and I fell in love with this one. And immediately when I saw it finished, she would do like sketches like in progress. And I was like, would you license that to me? So yeah, so she, we had a whole like fancy contract and
nice,
yeah,
nice.
I know she's big time, but yeah, check out her stuff on Instagram and her amyapps.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your decision to make this a more guitar-oriented album, and mm-hmm. I want to hear about the dream. It was inspired by a dream. It's
yeah.
about, you know, there was something, you were destroying your pianos
yeah.
or something, and, you know, you've been known for playing keyboard, piano in your previous work. So tell me about those dreams. And
right.
Do you tend to have dreams that kind of make you think, all right, I need to pay attention to that and
mm-hmm.
what I need to do in my life? Is that
oh, yeah.
a common thing for you?
Oh, yeah. I had a number of years where I would write down dreams every day. I'd make a practice of it. I have really vivid dreams. And lately, I haven't been having as many. I'm just probably not sleeping long enough or something. But every once in a while, I'll get like a big one. And so I had two about pianos. And the first was a grand piano. And it was, I think I had just played at the Mocha Moose, so, and they have a grand piano up there, and I so it was a grand piano, and I also grew up playing my mom's grand piano, and so anyway, I was cleaving it in half with a table saw, take a table saw and just like right and just really destructive. And then the second one, I was up at like the top of Lake Avenue, and I have this like airport case, like a hard case for my keyboard, like a flight case, so it's super heavy duty and it has wheels on it, and I'm at the top of Lake Avenue and I just shove it down the hill like on the wheels and like careening down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I know, I, you know, and I love the piano. I do. It's not like I hate the piano. I think it's magnificent. It's just time for a little change.
And there's piano on this album.
Yeah, yep.
And you know, you use it as one of the yep, flavors on this
exactly,
album.
Exactly.
So you have not completely renounced
no,
it.
No. And people were like, "What? There's that newspaper article today, and the it says that I buried my piano." And so, like, I still love the piano.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Mm-hmm. And you, when you first started writing songs, it sounds like when you were young,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. you were doing it on guitar initially,
yes.
right?
Yeah, I was really into like Juliana Hatfield and Belly and Veruca Salt and all those chicks with guitars. And so I got, in eighth grade, I got a Fender Squire. And this is the same strap, hot pick strap.
Nice.
And and so I started, I had my best friend, Jesse, and we started just a little chick band in my bedroom. It didn't go, you know, we didn't take it out on the town or anything, but we were writing songs, and yeah, that's my initial songwriting instrument. Has mm-hmm. been electric guitar. Yeah.
And did you play it along the way, or
no?
You just kind of took up piano, and that was it.
Yeah, I got into like some more softer, like Jewel and Ani DiFranco and Tori Amos, and so I switched to acoustic guitar, I've been doing a lot of acoustic guitar stuff, and then piano, you know, became the main focus because I knew that better. I'd been playing it longer. And it just felt easier to convey what I was going for on the piano.
And so when you went to play guitar again and mm-hmm. write on guitar, what was the process like that? Did it feel comfortable? Did it take a while to get comfortable?
Yes. Yeah, it's just, piano seems really linear to me. You know, there's 88 keys, black and white, and it's just all in a long line. And learning guitar, I've been taking lessons, and I'm just, my teacher, I'm like, can you just explain this to me? Like, so here's an E, here's an A, but then it's like this whole scale on each note, you know, it's not like, and it's just, and how are they coordinating like this? So you can have really easy bar chords and stuff, but it's just, it's very complicated. So it's been taking a long time just for me to wrap my head around the strings. And so, but I love, I'm starting to get into pedals a little bit, effects pedals, and I love being loud. And so it feels really freeing, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I love being able to move around a little more.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right. I never thought about that, but yeah, you're kind of chained to, unless you decide to do guitar,
exactly.
You are pretty much chained to the keyboard when you're up there.
And I might still get a guitar.
Are you still going to play barefoot? Because I always have an image of you shoeless at the keyboard.
Yeah. when I do just guitar sets, I'll probably wear shoes. But if I, you know, do both, then I will be barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I like to feel the sustain pedal with my bare foot.
Nice. Okay.
On the piano.
Mm-hmm.
But effects pedals is just like more stomping.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, let's hear another tune and
cool.
then we'll talk a little bit more about the album. What do you
cool.
want to
do next? I'm just going to tune up real quick.
And it's Mary Bew live from Studio A, and we're hearing, well, so far I've heard a tune from her new album, Holy Bones, that she's releasing this week.
We're doing another morbid one. This one's called Veal.
Thank you.
That's Mary Bew live from Studio A and a tune called Veal from her latest album, and pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Yeah. What inspired you to write that one?
Well, I've become a vegan, so I've been vegan for over a year now, and I've been on and off for many years, vegetarian, and then, like, I worked at this restaurant, I had tons of bacon, so I ate some bacon, and then I just was like, no! And so I've been full on for over a year now, year and 4 months or 3 months, and so I had watched tons of documentaries on animal cruelty and factory farming, and read a lot about it, and I'm just really disgusted by especially the veal and foie gras industries. I just think it's really cruel and inhumane. So that song is written from the perspective of a veal calf, mm-hmm. A baby cow, destined for slaughter in the veal industry. So, mm-hmm. So a little, and then I sort of hearken to that. That lullaby, or the story of the cow jumping over the moon. You know what? Which one is that? The
hey,
the
diddle, diddle. Yep. Right?
Yeah, right? Yeah,
cat and the fiddle. Yeah. So tell me about writing the songs for this album. Now, you know, you had wanted to do a guitar project. Had you already maybe written some of the songs,
yes.
Or did you? Okay.
Yep.
And so how did you have to adapt them for guitar, or did you start writing them on guitar?
I started writing all of them on guitar.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. And there were probably four that were written as I came into, you know, the idea for this project, and then more came along, mm-hmm. Over the year that I was recording it. So and so I wrote one of them. I'm not sure if I'll play it here or not, but one of them I wrote for the Homegrown Children's Showcase 3 years ago. That was my slot, was to play at the Children's Showcase. So I wrote a song called Candy for the kids, but it ended up being, like, you know, for the 3-year-old and all of us, kind of
that greedy
yep, exactly.
child. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wanting.
Oh, interesting. You know, and it's interesting that, that's how that was inspired, because I was thinking about that one, and then you have a song called Put Up,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of about, you know, people that kind of are a drain on other people in their
yes.
lives, and they had seemed to have a little bit of a similarity to me, but it sounds like they came from different places. Maybe
they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. I mean, it has kind of an overall theme of I guess, like, wanting, a lot of desire and attachment, and, like, kind of the dark shadow of that, and just, like, humans that are grasping and wanting more and being, you know, draining other people. Exactly. The put up is, you know, can't say it on the radio, really, but putting up with people's stuff.
There's a word in there we can't play on the radio.
Alas.
Way to go, Mary
yeah,
Bew.
Thank you.
Rocking out.
Explicit lyric. Yeah.
Actually, I think you maybe did that when you were in your piano phase,
too.
I think
yeah.
you had a couple
Quest
of songs that were, yeah.
Yeah.
This is not a brand new development, but and it fits the song for sure.
Awesome.
Because we all have people like that in our lives.
Yeah.
And maybe we are that person.
Oh, I know.
To somebody.
Yeah, so true. Probably.
And so you kind of, and you got a grant to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
So I got a grant, an Arrowhead Regional Arts Council grant. They have wonderful artists and, you know, artists and whatever project you're working on in the arts, they have a grant for it, or festivals or whatever. But anyway, great organization. And they, so their career development grant is, I proposed that I would write an album on my second instrument. And also built a website. I wanted to have a new website, so I kind of clumped those together into, like, what would develop my career. It's for, like, mid-level artists or whatever. And so they granted it to me, and I did most of the recording, was able to fund most of the recording with that grant. And it took exactly a year. Like, I finished recording on New Year's Eve at Sacred Heart, so it was pretty crazy.
Wow. Okay. And you're pursuing music full time now.
Yeah.
This was kind of a big plunge for you.
Yes. Yes.
So tell me about the impetus behind deciding to do that.
Oh, you know, I just felt like I do it so much, and I've had so many passions and so many interests.
Yeah,
and,
you are, you know, a person who's, you know, you have so much enthusiasm for different things.
Yes.
Yoga is one of them,
yep.
And you did a lot of study with that.
Totally.
But you had done music throughout, you know, your whole
Exactly. Yeah, that's been my one thing that's been constant in my sort of late teen, early adult life. And so I finally was like, you know, I just should give this a go, like full on, and see what happens. You know, I didn't put a timeline on it. Obviously, yeah, I'm very hopeful that the more that I put into it, I'll be able to sort of build and ride on it and just see where it goes. And I also do yoga. I still do yoga when I'm in town. Like I do, like I've been doing series classes, which I can plan my tour schedule around. Like when I'm home, I can do like a 4-week or 6-week series. And I've been building in teaching yoga before or after my gigs, like if the venue lets me. So like I'll do like a pre-show yoga class or the next day. And that's like a cool way to just meet more people in the communities too. So, mm-hmm. So yeah, it has been a big shift, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I don't know how I did it with a job.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, the last time you were here, you were talking about booking and like, how do people do that? You know, and so now, you know, you have more time, but it's
mm-hmm. crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how much work it is, but. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's my work.
And so you assembled a crack team of local musicians to work on this with you. Your husband, Kyle mm-hmm. McLean, who's in American Rebels, and he's been in a bunch of other bands. He plays some guitar on here. And you have Heather and Scott, the rockinist rhythm section in town.
Totally.
The go-to, the Millis couple.
yep, they are.
But husband and wife, Heather and Scott, who are seen in several bands mm-hmm. as just a solid rhythm section. Marcus Matthews is on here.
Yes.
Brett Molitor, Zach Bantz, Jake Larson. So, you've got a lot of great local people working on the thing.
Yeah, I'm so happy that everyone was able to mm-hmm. combine forces for this one. It's such an honor.
Now I want to ask you, because when you were doing the piano stuff, Sacred Heart, you did this one at the Sacred Heart Studio, mm-hmm. which last time you were here, we were talking about how it's so wonderful for the piano. What's it like for a rock band, though, doing it this way? Is it a little tougher?
You know, it's...
I mean, Eric, of course, Eric Swanson, who runs the studio, he is a pro, and he knows, you know, how what to do, but I'm just curious about the venue and the different...
It's really cool. Like, mm-hmm. it has a distinct sound, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, Lotus stuff, like, rock and stuff there, and RGC, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Crash Test Dummies. So, like, people do get real loud in there, but, mm-hmm. So they have, like, an isolation booth for the drummer. And then what they did, like, they kind of Eric sectioned off amps and would just kind of direct them into his studio box, wizard room. and we did a lot of, like... It was one day in the summer before Marcus moved to Los Angeles, and he and Brett and I just went and we knocked out like 7 songs in like 3 hours live. We just, you know, we just did it all together. And then I overdubbed vocals and stuff, but it's cool. I love that space it's just very special to me and good energy there. So, and it felt cool. Like, we didn't use as much of the natural reverb mm-hmm. as I do with mm-hmm. the other piano albums, but
so just a different approach, but it still works really
for
really
sure
well. That's great,
for sure.
That's great. I was just curious about that because we had talked when I was listening back. I'm like, oh, I wonder
yeah,
about that.
Totally.
So we have time for one more. What do you want to finish up with here?
I'm gonna do Cherubim, which is the shortest song I've ever written. Some of the piano ones I get, you know, 7 minutes long or something. So just let me tune out the beginning real quick. And Cherubim is about, imagine there was a little child angel that knew all about your love life. everything. All right.
Parts the big book of love. It's writ on our hearts. Words smear on the page. Yeah, passion, the rage, the chord and the spark. Cherubim's got all my love letters. She rescued the ones I took to the dump. All the little bits of sweet nothings. All the piranhas nibbling my heart. All the piranhas nibbling my heart.
Short and sweet, Mary Bew, live from Studio A, another one from her new Holy Bones album. And I think I read in the article, there's an article in the Duluth News Tribune today, if you haven't read that yet, about Mary and her CD release, that, you know, you feel like you write differently with the guitar. What does it change for you?
Ooh, it's simpler, far simpler. Like I said, I know the piano better. So I feel I'm not as, like, not that I'm a virtuoso on the piano, but I can't, like, I can't do just as much as I could on the piano, you know, and you can in a different way. But, oh, what I'm trying to say is simpler, more concise, shorter songs. But it also feels like a little split personality, because there's this really almost wistful piano thing that comes out, like a more, like it feels more romantic or something. More like classical, and then this is just like, it's like a genre shift, you know. It's more a little poppier, a little rockier. It's it speaks to a different side of me that has been repressed.
And does it help you kind of, you know, you're talking about being able to move around on stage, mm-hmm. so maybe interacting with your band members and stuff, is that kind of a fun,
super fun
aspect of it?
Super fun. And yeah, it's still like I'm still learning to get comfortable with the instrument as well as with the band in a different way. So like Kyle, and he does this in American Rebels, but he'll jump and like bump into you like a little ram, like with his head or his shoulder or something. And then,
I think I witnessed that at they did a show. You guys did a show at Beaner's, and you were the special guest vocalist. Yeah. And,
oh my god! Yeah. And he just like such a spaz, and that, like, he did it, and I had my eyes closed, and he did that, and I was like, wow. Yeah, so no, it's so fun. Mm-hmm. So fun.
Well, that's wonderful. Again, it's Mary Bew is having her CD release show here in Duluth, and okay, now. In the article in the paper today, they were talking about you're going to do something ceremonial removing of the piano or something about a piano. And
yes,
you were saying maybe a piano pinata.
Yes, yes, there will be. So I will be featuring a few piano songs, and at the start, and then there will be a transition between piano and guitar with a little ceremony of like putting the piano away.
And well, so that, okay, that brings a question. So do you have songs that you originally did on piano that you have that you now do on guitar?
No.
Oh, okay.
They're all
you're just doing the new ones.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
And maybe a fun cover if we can learn it in time.
Oh, well, that's interesting. That's intriguing.
Yes.
And again, that show is coming up tomorrow night at R.T. Quinlan's, and it is going to be Anthony Bennett of Cars and Trucks doing a solo thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Koza from the Twin Cities doing a duo thing, and then you perform, and then Duluth Dolls Burlesque and DJ Walt Dizzo are going to take the stage, right?
Yeah, Dizzo is going to spin in between sets, too, I think, is the plan.
Okay,
so,
and doors open at 8:30, show starts at 9. Anything else we need to know? And you're marybew.com.
Yep.
B-U-E, right? And you're on Facebook?
Yes.
All right.
Facebook, Twitter. I'm like obsessed with Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. This has been really fun.
Great. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Rick McLean and Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.